Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What do you get when you mix a mystery, a mother-daughter relationship on the rocks, and a cross-country adventure together? Pieces of Her, the new Netflix saga starring Emmy Award winner Toni Collette. Executive producer and director Minky Spiro joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from London. South by Southwest, one of the largest annual entertainment and technology festivals anywhere, is back and operating from Austin, Texas. Our second guest is prepping the festival's Gaming Awards, available live tomorrow through Smart TV products. You'll hear executive producer Lori Locklear later this hour. Also ahead, another big Warner Brothers Discovery merger step, CNN Plus's launch track, our classic trivia question, and today's Apple TV Plus miniseries debut is our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Verbal, Reason, and Amazon Music. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of sports and audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to the good stuff anytime, whenever, and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A good Friday afternoon to you. 52 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and you are live with us for the program all about TV's current and future. Two wonderful guests coming away in the hour ahead, and we invite you to pick up the phone and interact with them. All you have to do is dial this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Tuner Radio. You can also use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can hear others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker or tune-in screen. Follow those instructions, and other people will be live with you. Minky Spiro from Pieces of Her on Netflix, live with us from London after these news notes. We're a matter of days to WarnerMedia consummating its marriage with Discovery, Inc. All the credit goes to Discovery investors, who handily voted for the $43 billion merger during a special meeting this morning. With this step completed, following Justice Department approval, what will become Warner Brothers Discovery may open for business by late April. Separately, on WarnerMedia's side, CNN Plus is ready to roll out. The service will switch on March 29th, available through smart TV sets and devices at $5.99 a month. Content includes new series anchored by Chris Wallace, Will Blitzer, and Don Lemon, a book club segment presided by Jake Tapper, and interactive opportunities to speak with CNN anchor people, reporters, and analysts. Now, quickies, ABC is moving ahead with Who Do You Believe?, an unscripted crime series where the details are offered from two perspectives. King Royalty returns for a second Discovery Plus season, March 16th. Tyler Perry produced sitcoms House of Pain and Assisted Living opened a new season on BET and BET Her the following Wednesday. New HBO documentary special How to Survive a Pandemic premieres March 29th. And popular sketch comedy Showcase Tall Boys, playing on Canada's CBC network, head south to U.S. viewers March 23rd via Fuse. And that is news notes for today. Our first guest is considered one of the top episodic directors on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. Her credits include Downton Abbey, Call of the Midwife, which starts its second decade on PBS here in the United States in a couple of weeks, and Better Call Saul. Also, two of the most important miniseries in recent years, FX's Emmy-winning Fosse Vernon and The Plot Against America with Winona Ryder on HBO. Joining us live from London in an interview exclusive, where she is executive producing and directing the new Netflix series that started last Friday, Pieces of Her, Minky Spiro. Minky, congratulations. Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be with you.
And same here, Minky. What do you think of the fact that in your career you've had this opportunity to work on so many what we would call here in the United States prestige television projects?
Well, I mean, it's not what I imagined my life was going to be, so I'm forever pinching myself to be in this lucky position. It's been one hell of a ride. But you're only as good as your last job, so every time you go into a job, you have to just keep striving to achieve what you have your vision for and hope that it resonates with the audiences.
Mm-hmm. Pieces of Her is probably the most interesting project you've done so far because you're not only directing all the episodes, you're also executive producing. Why did you decide to take this on?
I think there comes a point where after doing many pilots for television or doing the first block of the season, a new season of something. We're just itching to see it through. And it's like having to part with your baby prematurely. So when this opportunity arose and Bruno Papandrea, the exec producer at Made Up Stories, approached me about this project and, amongst other things, sold it to me as me authoring the entire season. It was a bit of a no-brainer. As an author and as somebody that sees herself as an artist, not just a filmmaker, it really was an exciting challenge.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see the fact that you've been able to do this project from start to finish, and you've not only directed all the episodes, but you've executive produced it with some very important talent. Karen Slaughter, the novelist who is also working as executive producer, Charlotte Stout, who's also the showrunner, and one of the, you might say, one of the pioneers in terms of our generation's current crop of female directors, Leslie Lincoln Glatter.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't ask for more, could you? I was spoiled. I was surrounded by incredible, talented women, and then to top it off, to get to work with Toni Collette at the helm of it as our lead. It was a very rewarding experience.
Talk about the storyline of Pieces of Her. It seems that there's, as I mentioned, the tease, that it's a mix. You have a mystery tale. You have a mother-daughter situation that is very sensitive and sort of could fall off a cliff at any moment. And then you have this cross-country adventure a la Route 66, a very popular series in the 60s here in the United States, that these mother and daughter not only find new cultures but also find themselves too.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I first was told, oh, it's a psychological thriller, Minky, what do you think about that? Yeah, sure, but really I gravitate to character-based stories. So if they're weak or they don't resonate or they don't hold their own within a framework, then it doesn't really land for me. So what I actually call this is really more of a mother-daughter character piece in the skin of a thriller. Which is why it's so delicious, because you've got this fascinating, very complicated psychological web and mystery that has to unfold. And then you've got this white-knuckle ride that we take you on at the same time. And what's interesting is that, first of all, it's an adaptation of a Karen Slaughter bestseller. Adaptations have their own challenges. But probably the biggest challenge for us was COVID. We've been prepping in Vancouver for 4 months, and we were literally 4 days away from first day of principal photography, and COVID shut us down. So off we all went back to our respective homes. I was back in LA, and a few months later, we thought we'd manage to scramble it back up in Vancouver in time for Tony's date. But alas, that wasn't to be because of COVID again. And Bruna and I had a chat. She was already in Sydney filming, executing on Nine Perfect Strangers. And I said, what about it? What about taking Pieces over to Australia? And I didn't really think it through. I just thought, what the hell? We've got to get this show made. It's such a brilliant story. There's such great talent. We can't let it collect dust. Anyway, Bruna and I spoke to our production designer. Cut a long story short. Off we went, and I moved my family and I, we all moved to Sydney for 10 months. And then suddenly I'm sitting in the production office and I'm wrecking and I'm looking around at all these space. I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking? This is a road trip. We're on the wrong side of the road. The car's steering wheel, everything was wrong. But anyway, we managed to find very clever ways to make it work.
Bruno Papandrea, by the way, that's the person that Minky was just talking about, is one of the key people at Made Up Stories, which has done some of the most popular miniseries and series on U.S. television over the last couple of years. And we are speaking with Minky Spiro. She's the executive producer director of the new Netflix series, Pieces of Her, starring Emmy winner Toni Collette. She won the Emmy a number of years ago for an unusual performance in the Showtime series, United States of Tara. And the series is based on a bestseller by Karen Slaughter, who has a deal with Netflix. The show is available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. And Mickey joins us live from London this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we want to hear from you, too. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Big 90 edition will open things up next week, Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. We'll kick it off with the creators and executive producers of the popular all-BLK series, Millennials. They're the team of Rugg and Oren Williams. Then, as promised, we will have, joining me here in New York, the chief executive officer of new smart TV programming service, Yada TV, Tara Merchant. And finally, remember the Victory Garden, the popular long-running PBS series with Crockett doing the whole Victory Garden deal? Well, there's a brand new garden series running later this month on PBS called Garden Fit. You will meet the host and executive producers, Madeline Hooper and Jeff Hughes. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How did you try to make pieces of her, all the pieces, fit despite the pandemic?
I think the biggest hurdle was finding a location that was going to be COVID-friendly. And Sydney, of all places in the world, at that point in time, was probably doing best. So it made sense. And we'd already cast Tony and Bella before even when we were still based in Vancouver. So it was an added bonus for both Tony and much of us that she was in her hometown when we were shooting this. And we, you know, we had a lot of hair-raising moments, like we had to ship over something like 60 American cars from the U.S. for this show, where we'd take over stretches of road and, you know, drive on the other side of the road. And, of course, 2 weeks before, or maybe it was 1 week before, first day of production, and we got news that the container was stuck in Melbourne. So we had to completely reschedule everything, which meant that Tony had to do her really rather remarkable piano performance much earlier. We had to bring that up because it didn't involve a car. So she had to work through intensively with a piano coach to get her to that place where she got to, which was remarkable for her piece at the end of the show in episode 8.
When you're working with somebody like Toni Collette, who has given some of the most unique performances in recent film and TV history, how does your directing and your executive producing play to her strengths to get the most out of her performance?
That's a very interesting question. She may have her own view on this, but I think what was unique in this experience was that she and I went on this very intense journey together, and she didn't have to split her attention and nor did I with other directors. So we were able to literally hold hands together and go on this 8-hour journey of really developing this character, Laura, who is so complicated and so complex, and you never quite know what she's thinking, which is part of what my remit to her was. Even though we know what you're thinking, let's not state the obvious. Let's always have people questioning, with intrigue rather than confusion. And we spent a lot of time together, Tony and I, and rehearsals were just as much about us getting to know each other to begin with as it was dissecting and rebuilding Laura together. And I think it's about trust at the end of the day. I think it's about being able to trust each other so that she feels safe to go to places that I asked her to go to, because, you know, in my mind, they are our gems. To me, as a director and exec producer, she is somebody I need to protect. At the same time, if she feels safe enough to be able to go to places in the performance that are very vulnerable and very exposing, that she knows I'm there to capture, she knows I'm there to guide her, she knows I'm there to maneuver it or recalibrate it, depending on where we need to get to in that moment. But to have such a collaborator and such a game player and was an incredible experience.
More and more in this era of plentiful television, Mickey, authors of books, novels, short stories, playwrights are becoming executive producers of adaptations of their work. Some are deeply involved. Some basically say, I'm only in name only. I'll let, you know, the other executive producers and the showrunners take things and consult with them here and there. What kind of relationship did you have with Karen about adapting her work?
I mean, we were always, if there was anything we wanted to stray away from, she was always, we always, you know, touch base with her, could check in with her. The most incredible thing is that she understands genre. She understands what it means to adapt something for the screen, even though this is her first one. She understands that what works in a book may not naturally translate into a series. And having done various adaptations myself, I was also very aware of the pitfalls. And often a book can be open-ending, or it can have moments to allow the audience to use their own imagination. It is a very fine line on television about what you can deny the audience. You need to have a lot more things sewn. You need to have a lot more things tied up or nuanced so that by the end of the season you feel satisfied enough to either want to lean in for more or feel like you've had your appetite and thirst quenched. So she was incredibly open and very supportive of changes we wanted to make or suggestions. I don't think she ever pushed back on anything because she believed in it. You know, we were able to support the reasons behind having to change somebody's character or adapt a certain storyline.
When you were settling in on a style or a way to direct this miniseries, did you draw in any way from your work on Downton Abbey or on Call the Midwife or the other miniseries you worked on, Foxy Vernon or Plot Against America, or did you decide, I'm going to go in a whole different direction in the way I direct with this project?
Well, it's a really good question. I mean, I think that we always absorb stuff from every job and every story we tell. There are takeaways from them. But I think the thing that was really important to me more than anything was, A, that every location, every world in which our lead characters inhabited was a character in their own right. But before getting to that, the whole journey, the whole story rests on the diner scene in episode one, which is quite a monumental moment. And if that didn't land properly, if we didn't convince the audience of that moment, then I'd lost them. So to all of us, it was a make or break for the show's success with that dynasty. So in a way, the way I had to structure a vision and a cinematic language for this show had to start from there. So really what it amounted to is finding a language that felt grounded, that allowed you to feel like you were in there with them as opposed to just watching them. And also I had to avoid anything feeling heightened until I'd grabbed you in, until I'd sucked you in. And then I could get more poetic and I could find ways to play with time and visual language and reflections and layers, et cetera, et cetera. But really, the starting point for me was, how do I begin the show and get you to that point at the diner where you feel safe and comfortable and everything feels normal and nothing feels over the top, so that when that moment happens in the diner, you are blinded, you're blindsided.
Peace of Her, based on the best-selling novel by Karen Slaughter, is Netflix's new miniseries starring Emmy winner Toni Collette. And the cast, by the way, includes Omar Hardwick and somebody who pops up all over the place in films and TV shows, the stepfather himself, Terry O'Quinn. The series is now playing on Netflix. It's into its second week now, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. And we are speaking with the executive producer and director, Nikki Spiro, live from London this half hour on Smarty Televised. Happy aboard for the ride, too. Simon Appledown with you live from New York. 52 degrees at the top of the hour. By the way, before we go on, I want to remind you, Saturday night, before you go to bed, turn the clocks ahead 1 hour because daylight savings time is back on Sunday morning. And if you're in an area where we're supposed to have this bomb cyclone happening in a place like upstate New York, New England, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, et cetera, inland, please make sure that you stock up on anything you need, because it looks like it's going to be a very heavy snow in all those areas, although along the coast itself, looks like it's going to be a rain and sleet event. The prediction here in New York is a trace to maybe an inch of sleet after the rainstorm for most of the day because of the high mid-40s temperature. Talk about the daughter in this series, Minky. Who is she, and how did you work with her to develop the relationship she has in her character with Toni Collette's character?
So Andy, her daughter, is played by the wonderful Bella Heathcote, who is struggling. She's 30. The character, not Bella. She is struggling to find who she is, and I think that's a very common thing at the age of 30, where you're at a crossroads in your life. We often have these terribly put on ourselves, these very immense expectations of what we should have achieved or what we want to achieve, and I think she's at that crossroads where her mother fell ill. She was striving to be an artist in New York. She didn't quite make it. Her mum fell ill. She decided to come back to Belle Isle to look after her mum, and then clipped into an easy kind of place without having to face up to the reality, got in the dead-end job, and suddenly 8 years down the line, and what the hell? She's really not moving forward. What's amazing by the end of the story for Andy is that she starts to realize her self-worth and actually that she has agency. And it was wonderful working with Bella and actually going on that journey with her. I think it was very demanding as an actor to basically be your own team player. You don't have a team partner. Your car and your driving is often the person you're talking to the most. So it's very demanding on an actor to try and deliver all those private moments where you have to feel and express what's going on inside, but you can't verbalize it. And hats off to Bella for going on this journey.
Leslie Baker-Glatter is one of the other executive producers. If you don't know who she is one of the great pioneers of this current generation of female episodic TV directors. She got her break nearly 40 years ago with someone named Steven Spielberg on NBC series called Amazing Stories, and she has had an amazing career ever since as both the director and executive producer. Her credits include Emmy-winning turns on Homeland and other shows. What kind of role did she serve with you on this series?
Leslie is such a warm, incredibly generous, very giving woman who is dedicated to furthering the cause of putting diversity in front of and behind the screen. She is now DGA president, so she's a very busy lady, but she was always on the end of an email or the phone and constantly watching the rushes and emailing me and, you know, shouting from the rooftops about how much she's loving it all. She was busy actually shooting another show when we were in Sydney, but she was always there on the sidelines, available for anything we needed.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a week now since Netflix has had pieces of her. What kind of feedback are you getting from all over the world? Because one thing we hear a lot of, and we have people like yourself from Netflix series, is that they really hear feedback from all over the world, because Netflix is a global streaming service. So one week in, what kind of response are you getting?
Well, I literally was speechless when I was sent a link to Netflix global top 10 around the world. And we were number 3 globally and number 1 in 71 countries. So I was slightly gobsmacked and beautifully ecstatic. Long may it continue. I have been inundated with compliments and excitement and from all over the world. I am currently in London filming The True Body Problem, but my husband and 2 daughters are in Sydney. So they're giving me all the news. Number 1 in Australia, number 1 in Israel, number 1 in South Africa, number 1 in the US, number 1 in the UK. It's crazy. It's kind of exploded in a way that I dreamt but never fully anticipated it happening.
So before we leave you, what's next for you in television? Any projects lined up?
I'm actually in London prepping and filming The True Body Problem, which is the new David Benioff and Dan Weiss show for Netflix. It's their new big show after the Game of Thrones. So that's a pretty massive, brilliant sci-fi based on the book of the same name. So it's very exciting, and we're shooting out of London.
And any plans to do a series here again?
Oh, for sure. I have my wonderful agents at WME that are already, come back when you finish your body problems. So there's lots in the pipeline, which is exciting.
Pieces of Her is now in its second week on Netflix, available on all smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and in some places on local cable systems around the country. More details about the program online is www.netflix.com. It's www.netflix.com. Pieces of Her, based on the best-selling book by Karen Slaughter, now running in week two on Netflix. Nikki Spiro, the executive producer and director of the series, thank you very much for being with us live in prime time from where you are in London. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Congratulations also on the terrific career you've had as a director for shows both where you are and where we are here in the United States, and all the very best for whatever future things you do.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for having me and for watching Pieces of Her.
You're very, very welcome, Nikki. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Nikki Spiro from Pieces of Her joining us live, primetime from London. More Tomorrow Be Televised coming up, but first some words from our fine friends at AmazonAudible.com. And we just talked about the fact that Pieces of Her is based on a best-selling novel by Karen Slaughter, New York Times bestseller. And we should tell you that she's got a brand-new audiobook based on another one of her most recent works called False Witness. You can get that right now with a trial run with Audible.com. No, don't forget, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from at any given moment, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, that one-month trial, plus great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and while supply lasts, very important health and wellness information. Plus, if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, you get two audiobooks for your trial, one of them from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances, and so much more. So for all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised and find out how, by listening to the good stuff, Audible.com can transform the way you and other people can hear the world. It's a great gift for you or anyone you love. Coming up in our next half hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week. Our show to know is a series that premiered today on Amazon, on Apple TV Plus, with the wonderful Samuel Jackson. A lot of people think he might get an Emmy nomination for this show. But first, we're going to go live to Atlanta, and we're going to speak with somebody who is getting involved with South by Southwest, which, as we speak, is back in action in Austin, Texas. She's putting together their gaming awards that will be on smart TV sets and smart TV devices tomorrow night. Lori Locklear will join us from Peach Maria Productions after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tomorrow night, it's Screwball Radio, one of the most unique music shows in all of radio. Screwball Radio, check it out tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best be charged 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, the third of our three triple-header programs this week, coming away with 52 degrees at the top of the hour here in New Weather York. Simon Appa, I'm with you live from the Big Apple. Happy to have you aboard. If you have questions or comments for our next guest, bring them in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. After 3 years virtual, one of the top entertainment and technology fairs around the country, South by Southwest is back in action today for a nice spell in Austin, Texas. And tomorrow night, they will be doing a virtual gaming awards that will be presented on their smart TV app, which is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And that's just one of the projects that our next guest is involved with. Joining us live from Atlanta, co-founder and operator of Peach Maria Productions, Lori Locklear. Lori, thank you very much for joining us.
No, thank you, Simon, for inviting me. I just want to take a moment to tell you that I am incredibly flattered and also a bit intimidated to join you, especially in an episode with Minky Spiro. I can't think of a show in more than a decade that I have watched and loved that she wasn't involved in. So I'm quite flattered and honored to be here and excited for South By.
Well, let's start with South By Southwest first. What kind of buzz are you hearing about South By Southwest coming back for the first time in 3 years in person?
Oh, I think so many people are just excited. So many people are ready to go and see the live music and the movie previews and see the panels and learn about the new technology that everybody's been working on remotely around the world. And the excitement of being at these events and the buzz and stuff was incredibly missed, I think, by everybody for the past few years. So there's a lot of excitement. And, yes, the gaming awards are virtual, but we are having an after party at South By. We will be there to engage with people in person, to meet some folks. Some of the presenters are coming, as well as, you know, some other guests, some of the game developers and the winners and nominees will be joining us. So that's very nice.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the video game world, there are two trends that are happening simultaneously as far as television is concerned. One is the growing number of video games being adapted for live action and animated TV series, and the other is this growing interest in having video games on the TV set, but without a PlayStation or a Nintendo or some sort of console where you either use your voice or use a remote controller to play the action. And you also are seeing things like game hubs that are being organized by the likes of Samsung for their smart TV sets and LG for their smart TV sets and services like Google Stadia, Apple Arcade, GeForce Now from NVIDIA. What's your sense of the video game community's interest in either trend?
So I think what's wonderful about all of that is it's starting to remove any barriers that were there from accessibility to you know, availability in some of the gaming things. And so I think that's wonderful. Obviously, when any kind of trend like this comes along, whether it is social media trends or film and television, it sort of, there's always kind of a creation bubble where lots of things throw their hats in the ring, lots of companies, lots of developers, lots of creatives, and then it sort of sifts out over maybe a few months, maybe a couple of years. It sifts out and you start seeing where the real changes will stick, what will last. And I think that's what we're really hitting this edge of: amazing technology, amazing accessibility, but we'll see probably in the next 18 months what are the trends that are going to last, the ways that people will engage with games, the kind of games. I mean, blockchain gaming is going to be, I think it's got incredible potential, where I look forward to seeing that go is, will blockchain games be able to create epic stories like open world games, et cetera, do? So there's mm-hmm. a lot of those little nuances that I think will shake out.
Let's talk about the gaming awards that you're involved with. They'll be on tomorrow night. Is it the first time that South By Southwest has done an event like this?
So South By has done gaming awards for several years. In the past 2 years, they have done them virtually. And the gaming awards is that we really love the fact that South By has such a wonderful voice in the market of what's new in entertainment, that we believe that in gaming it is the frontier for all entertainment moving forward. I think that a lot of people would agree that we are not too far from every movie, TV series, almost everything that comes out in music, somehow having a crossover in gaming, whether it's having your album release in concert in something like Fortnite, or it is
you would have photos literally advertising in Grand Theft Auto with billboards, or however these stories are going to be created, and they'll cross over into and out of the gaming world, is really the future. So what we brought to the Game Awards this year is a lot of the Hollywood and the music that loves gaming. It's not about what we call the 1% of gamers, which are people who live in this world and who make their money exclusively in this world. This is a celebration of the entire world of gamers, which is all of us. And we all love movies, and we all love music, and we all love all the other things at South by too. So we brought them into the Gaming Awards in a big way.
Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of talent that's going to be involved with it. Before we get to the talent, what are some of the categories that are going to be showcased, and is there any front runners?
Sure, yeah. So I would say there are a lot of amazing categories. So we're going to be finding out. Obviously, you have your game. We have four Game of the Year categories, and that's the Game of the Year, the Indie Game of the Year, which has 10 nominees in it, which is double any other category. That's partly because of South By's commitment to all things in indie, but also because there were some fantastic indie games in the past year, and that's just beginning to grow. As a matter of fact, there's a game called Kenner Bridge of Spirit, which is nominated as an indie game, but it's also nominated in three other categories. It's fantastic. There's VR Game of the Year. There is excellence in animation, art, and visual achievement, and excellence in original score and narrative, which quite often people associate those kinds of categories with the Oscars and the Golden Globes alone. But there's amazing storytellers and narrative and music in the world of gaming, and I love when an awards show celebrates those things.
Are there any categories that honor TV adaptations, whether live-action or animation of video games?
So I think that's really interesting that you brought that up. There are not, but it's actually one of the things that we put on our suggestion for next year, because what we ask is, in working with South By, this is my company's first year working with South By, and we ask that next year, what we'd like to do is add that category and have the audience vote on that one exclusively. Let them talk about what were the best crossovers and partnerships or integrations or things with gaming and the rest of the entertainment world. Because we've seen some amazing ones. Like I said, I mean, look at the concerts that happened in Fortnite. Look at The Witcher on Netflix. It's brilliant. And there are so many things coming up, more movies, more Sonic the Hedgehog, et cetera. There's so many crossover things. The audience loves them, and I'd love to start seeing really what their favorites are for the year, too.
We are speaking with Lori Locklear. She is the executive producer of the South by Southwest Gaming Award. They will be on tomorrow night. That's March 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And that, of course, is 5 p.m. on the West Coast. And that is all on South by Southwest's TV app that will be running throughout the festival and available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices, including, I believe, it's Amazon, also Roku, Apple TV, Apple TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we are speaking with Lori live from Atlanta, Georgia, where she is the co-operator of her company, Peach Maria Productions. We're going to talk about a project they're working on involving esports coming up in a little bit. And if you have a question or comment for Lori, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, we've got a big 90-minute show coming your way on Monday. And being with us will be, from all BLK's popular comedy now in its second season, Millennials, the creative executive producers, the team of Rugg and Oren Williams. Then, as promised, Yonic TV Network Chief Executive Officer Tara Merchant. That service is starting up on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. It's based here in New York. They've got studio space in Queens, and they have a very interesting community outreach we'll talk about, too. And from the new PBS series Garden Fit, premiering later this month, the co-host and executive producers Madeline Hooper and Jeff Hughes. All Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tamavi Televised. You have lined up a lot of great talent, starting off with your hosts, the co-stars of the popular new sci-fi series Astrid and Lily Save the World. Aside, executive producers were on our program earlier this year, Jonna Morrison and Samantha O'Coin. What's it been like to work with them and all the other talent you've got coming on Saturday?
So Dana and Samantha are delightful. And I have to admit, I have daughters right around their age, and they remind me so very much of them, that they are funny and cool, and they laugh at themselves, and they have been an absolute joy to work with. And if, for people who are not watching Astrid and Lily, and I tell this to people, it is the Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the next generation. It really is. It's super cute. It's got great positive messages, and it's just fun to watch. And they are fantastic. And, of course, we have Michael Anthony on from Raising Dion, and his humor, he had more fun. He is presenting the VR game of the year. He had more fun filming that, I think, anybody ever had. He was just, he's a delight. Alan Tudyk is, well, not only is Alan Tudyk a gamer in real life, he's a voice in Halo and stuff, and he's in many of the Star Wars animation as well as game. And so he had a great time. He presents the game of the year. Ivan Makop from Netflix Red Notice and on the new Marvel's Hawkeye is on. And he is doing an interesting, and this one I love. He is the guest who's introducing a special teaser from NASA about the Artemis mission, because gamers at NASA have this incredibly strong connection that I think a lot of people don't know about, and it's really cool. Most astronauts are actually gamers, and gaming from the time of board gaming, when they were playing board games and chess on the missions, to now they regularly play video games, especially with handheld consoles, when they are in Florida at Cape Kennedy. But they also are using so much of the technology that is used in the gaming world has been developed for them to train. I actually got a sneak peek through a video call from some of the contacts at NASA about the behind the scenes and the way the astronauts train, and they use a virtual technology that gamers are incredibly familiar with. And I thought that's really exciting. So having NASA part of this year is great, and it's setting up for next year, because the big one that we want is we actually next year would like to have some of the astronauts from the space station do a special presentation during the show.
You also, Laurie, have two other very interesting bunch of guests. You have people from G4 TV, which was revived by Comcast last fall from their top shows like Attack of the Show and X-Play. But you also have, there is a new animated series that was put together through NFTs and blockchain called The Gimmicks, which was put together in part through Orchard Farm. That's the company owned by the top actress Mila Kunis. Tell us about that, because they're going to be involved in a very unusual way.
Sure. They are involved in a really unusual way. They have put together a 5-segment animated series that will stream throughout the show. It actually kind of starts at the very beginning, and it is a character, one of the characters journeys through a road trip to South By, going to South By, the gaming awards, et cetera, and having fun on this kind of silly road trip. And yes, Mila Kunis is involved. She is one of the voices as well. And there are some great people involved. The animation is hysterical, and I have to admit, they actually animated me, and that's my team finds that really funny. I have one word in it, but it's an animation of me with my pink hair. And there are a lot of really cool things there. And again, this is NFTs being used to create and to engage an audience around animation. So not just the still art and not just an NFT that is a single, you know, have it as a standing image, but a series. And so that's really interesting. And that is also multiple animation studios came together to create that. And it's really exciting that they did this and that it's very special for this event.
Do we know if the Gimmicks is going to go on smart TV sets or smart TV devices anytime soon, premiere there, or whether they're going to just do their own, show up somewhere?
Sure. So Gimmicks will, and so it is going to show up a series that is going out through those channels, and it's Ethereum, and it will be going through those channels starting in the next week or so, and then you will start seeing it pop up in other places. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know the details and probably couldn't tell if I did, but I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see the Gimmicks and their partnership, especially with like Stoner Cats, which is Mila's project. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see that pick up somewhere along the lines of a Comedy Central, even if it's an online stream. I think there's definitely potential that will happen. The quality is fantastic. The talent involved is amazing. So, yes, I think that there is growth there. Again, more things in gaming and NFTs and these worlds are crossing over in some interesting ways that I think we'll see traditional media want to grab hold of that and be involved in some way. So I think that's absolutely on the horizon.
In a moment, we will talk with Lori about what she's doing at Peach Maria, especially an esports project that she's working on called Game Master with Will Wheaton. Yes, that Will Wheaton from Stand By Me and Star Trek Next Generation. We'll also get her thoughts quickly about a project that's trying to become the Netflix for gamers called Binge. We'll get to that in a little bit. She's with us live from Atlanta, Georgia, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. She is the executive producer of the SW, that's South by Southwest Gaming Awards. They will be live starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific on the South by Southwest TV app. It's available on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Android TV, other smart TV services and sets and devices as well. If you have a question or comment in our final minutes with her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04MN. Coming up also before top of the hour, classic trivia question of the week, two prizes in play, and our show to know, which started earlier today on Apple TV+. It may be one of the miniseries out this season that could become an Emmy nominee. So more about that shortly. Let's talk about Game Master, which is this new project you're working on. Tell us about it and how far along.
Sure. So Game Master is a project that we were supposed to actually film right after South by Southwest in 2020. But the world sort of slid off a cracker, as we say in the South, in right about 10 days before we were supposed to get to filming. And so now we are back. We will be filming here very shortly, like in weeks. And yes, Will Wheaton is our host. We have a broadcast duo, a comedic broadcast duo, that we will be announcing in probably the next 10 days. And we have 12 gamers from around the country, male, female, non-binary. We love gamers, all of them. And they had to compete and interview and turn in videos and jump a lot of hoops to get to be a contestant on the first season. And the whole idea with Game Master is that instead of looking for someone who is great at one game, we are looking for the greatest gamer across all consoles, all types of games, and somebody with an amazing personality. This is somebody you'd want to watch play games and talk about games and engage with the world of gaming in silly ways sometimes. I mean, we know that our winner will be on the red carpet at major events. We're already booking them for this to be on the red carpet for major events, and instead of asking, you know, a celebrity, what are you wearing, they're going to ask, what games are you playing now? Because that's incredibly relevant to this generation. This is, they're gamers. We're gamers.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to, when will this start and where?
So we are filming this. We are filming in the spring. It will be on in the summer, and the show is airing on a stream, on one of the major streaming services. That's what I will say. It's airing on one of the major streaming platforms in 5 countries, and then we are also looking at network adaptations in multiple other countries. So just as The Voice, et cetera, has done. I have launched localized versions in other countries. We are already working with some amazing folks to put Game Master on in multiple countries in the next 18 to 24 months. That will launch. And, the talent is fantastic. Will Wheaton has been a champion through all of this. When Game Master first had to shut down because of COVID, we launched a campaign with a couple of organizations across the country where we got makers and gamers to print and sew masks and donate them because, as you might recall, in early 2020, there was a shortage. And we worked with an organization and put together our volunteers, our team, our showrunner, Jackie Dinkhart, and then our audience members made masks and donated about 8,000 masks that went to a Native American reservation. So we have this amazing community that's ready to step in. They're excited about the show. They've been following up with us regularly. Will is super excited, and he is, when it comes to things in the world of gaming, there is nobody who has more credibility than Will Wheaton. From hosting tabletop for years to being a voice in gaming, to being not only a friend of the author of Ready Player One, but if you do the Audible book for Ready Player One or Ready Player Two, that's Will Wheaton reading it, because the author knows that when you want to talk about how games integrate into the rest of the world, you go to Will Wheaton. And so we're very excited to have him as part of the show.
Yeah. Very quickly, because we have about a minute or so left before we have to move on and wrap the show up. Last year, a service was announced called Binge, which is out to become the Netflix of gamers, a mix of video game programming, esports programming, live-action animated adaptations of video games, and maybe interactive programming. Do you think that will succeed?
I don't know. Some Quibi doing mobile, they had more money than having people who should have known better, and it failed, and then Venn came out and didn't make it. Others are struggling, and now all of the major streaming networks are taking on gaming as a big focus moving forward. I think that Binge has a fantastic idea and a great plan. Let's see if they can pull it together, because I'd love to see it work. I don't know those folks, but I'm cheering for them. I hope they can.
Well, we will. I'll tell you what, because we have to cut off here. Sorry about the lawyer, but I want to say that we will find out whether Ben shows up at South by Southwest. If they do, or any TV news breaks from that event, which started today in Austin, Texas, we will let you know. But we can tell you that tomorrow, it's the South by Southwest Gaming Awards that Lori is serving as executive producer. It will be on 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time on South by Southwest's television app, available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over. For more details about the Gaming Awards and everything at South by Southwest, here's where you go online, xssw.com, xssw.com. Lori Locklear from Peach Maria Productions, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck with the show tomorrow, and have a great time with South by Southwest. And we'd love to have you back when Game Master is ready to go on.
Oh, I'd appreciate that. Thank you so much, Simon.
You're very, very welcome, Lori. Have a great time at South by Southwest. Have a fantastic weekend.
You too.
Lori Locklear joining us live from Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, all the very best to everybody at South by Southwest. Hopefully a great, great show 3 years after their last one. It's happening now in Austin, Texas. Time for our classic trivia question of the week. Here it is. What was Jeff Edwards' first game show? Jeff Edwards' first game show. That's the person with the new treasure hunt jackpot, new chain reaction. What was Jeff Edwards' first game show? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the new Nailed It cookbook, taking challenges for the rest of us, and the Blues Clues 20th anniversary notepad from Nickelodeon. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWT. In order to win, you got to be in, so do so, and all the very best. Quickly, our show to know today is one that premiered earlier today on Apple TV+. It's called The Last Days of Potomac Gray. It stars Samuel Jackson in a very interesting performance a lot of people think could be an Emmy Award winner. He plays someone who is dealing with dementia, and he gets the opportunity through a special drug to get his memory back the last days before he passes away. It's a very interesting story, including performances by Jackson and also a marvelous actress. You may have heard of her from Judah and the Black Messiah called Dominic Fishback. A lot of people think that both she and Jackson could be up for Emmy Awards in what might be a very heavy-duty miniseries category later this year. The Last Days of Potomac Gray, now running on Apple TV+. Plus. For more details about the program online, go to apple.com/TV. That's apple.com/TV. Thanks to all of our guests for being here today, all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, coming your way on Monday, we'll have the creators, executive producers of All BLK's Millennials, Rugg and Oren Williams, the Attic TV Network Chief Executive Officer Tara Merchant, and from new PBS series Garden State, the host and executive producers Madeline Hooper and Jeff Hughes. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blog.radio.com/televised. Check our podcast anytime this weekend on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, on the iRadio Podcast Network, on Amazon Music, which is now playing on Vizio Smart TV sets, and a whole lot of other places as well. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our program today? What's your thoughts about video games popping on TV or becoming game hubs on smart TV sets and devices? And your thoughts about TV overall? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and on Twitter. However you respond, we respond back to you within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Andy Toews, BTR's general manager, Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. Website service by us on Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitar Spankus, he's our web coordinator. Tomorrow's televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. In order to listen to the good stuff with a one-month trial, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. But tomorrow's televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, turn the clocks ahead 1 hour Friday on tomorrow night before daylight saving time hits your way Sunday morning. And if you haven't been vaccinated, please see your doctor, check up on your medical situation, find out about all the new treatments and pills, et cetera, that can be of great service to you, and then make a choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.